It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Christian humanitarian organization World Relief aims to resettle dozens of refugees this year in the Chippewa Valley. We check in on the effort and explore concerns that have surfaced. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Matthew Sorens is Vice President of Advocacy and Policy at World Relief. Matthew, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, bring us up to speed on the resettlement plans for these 75 individuals in the Eau Claire area. What are the details of the resettlement plans?
Yeah, so World Relief has actually been in Wisconsin for more than a decade in the Fox Valley area, actually, where the community where I grew up, and we've been resettling refugees there for many years. And with growth in the overall federal refugee resettlement program, in the light of the greatest mass forced displacement crisis globally that we've seen in history, we were looking for new places where we could potentially resettle refugees. So almost a year ago now, we began a process of looking really around the country, but including through our Appleton office, looking there in Wisconsin for another community where we might resettle a relatively small number of refugees. And after a long process of consulting with local governmental leaders and, you know, school boards, law enforcement, potential employers, apartment owners and landlords, local churches who are really central to our mission as a Christian organization, we proposed Eau Claire as a community where we might begin resettlement. And the federal government, under the law, has the authority to make those determinations of where refugees are resettled, because refugees are legally defined under federal law as people who have fled their country because of a well-founded fear of persecution, and they have all the authority there. But they approved that request, and so we announced that back in September, our intention to start resettlement in Eau Claire, and we actually just earlier this month resettled the first family that arrived there in the Eau Claire community. And
how are they doing?
I think they're doing well. It's always the first several weeks after arriving in a totally new country are always a culture shock. And yet we've been really encouraged by the community there in Eau Claire. There's a team from a church that's coming alongside them and helping them with that cultural adjustment. The first few weeks, there's a lot of focus on just getting people on their feet, making sure they have a safe place to live, and then very quickly moving to how do we help children get enrolled in school? How do we help adults find jobs? Refugees are authorized to work from the day they arrive. And fortunately, there's lots of job opportunities right now. In fact, there's labor shortages in Wisconsin. So, we were already in that process of looking at what would be an appropriate job for this family to be able to be economically self-sufficient as soon as possible.
Matthew, what countries will the refugees being resettled in the Eau Claire area, where will they come from?
Yeah, we don't know for sure. The first family was from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and that's probably a pretty good guess of where the top nationality of where we'll see refugees from, just based on where refugees who've been resettled to Wisconsin in the past year have come from. Those are decisions that the federal government makes. They do that vetting overseas and verify that someone meets the U.S. legal definition of a refugee. And then we get, somewhere between a few days and a few weeks of notice that a particular family will be arriving. So only at that point do we necessarily know the nationalities. So we can't with confidence project, the 75 refugees that we intend to resettle in Eau Claire by the end of September of this year, exactly what countries they'll come from. But based on the recent trends of where the federal government has sent refugees from to Wisconsin, it would probably be primarily the Democratic Republic of Congo, very likely also Burma or Myanmar in Southeast Asia. And to say that they're coming from those countries, they fled those countries in many cases years or even decades ago, and have often been in a neighboring country in a refugee camp or some other setting.
There have been some reports, including from Fox News, suggesting the majority of refugees are coming from Somalia. Is that true?
Well, again, we don't know for sure where refugees will be coming from, but that's not where we anticipate the majority of refugees will be coming from. Just based on who we've seen thus far in Eau Claire and where we have seen refugees resettled to Wisconsin, in our Appleton office and where our peer organizations in Milwaukee or Madison or Wausau have seen refugees being resettled from in the last few years. I think that rumor probably comes from the proximity to Minnesota, which is a center for Somali resettlement, or has been historically. And to be really clear, we'd be happy to receive Somalis if that's who we're sent. We just don't necessarily anticipate that we'll actually be the majority of those who are going to come to Eau Claire. And if we do see Somalis, it will probably be family reunification cases. So where there's someone who was resettled possibly to Minneapolis or another community, possibly many years ago. And when a refugee who's been approved by the federal government for resettlement is in that process of, them making travel plans, our government will basically ask them, "Hey, do you have relatives somewhere already in the United States?" And if they say, "Well, I have a relative in Eau Claire," they're going to be sent to Eau Claire as opposed to somewhere else. And so that would be the most likely situation where we would see Somali refugees would be in family reunification cases if there are already Somalis living, in that region.
That makes sense with family bonds and family support networks already in place. I want to turn to our state legislature passing a bill in recent days that would require local government involvement in refugee resettlement plans. You mentioned early in the process talking with Eau Claire area leaders. Has World Relief since then consulted with local officials about resettling refugees?
Yeah, as I said, we only, in the last month or so have resettled our first family in Eau Claire, and we've been talking to governmental leaders for nearly a year. I think in March of 2023 were some of our first conversations. And we've had a number of public meetings there in the Eau Claire area as well, that lawmakers, state lawmakers, and representatives of federal lawmakers, city leaders have been a part of. And that's exactly how the process should work. In fact, by federal law, before resettlement begins, there's to be a consultation process. So the federal government actually has the authority. The Refugee Act that Congress signed back in 1980, it doesn't actually give local or state governments like a requirement to sign off on or approve of refugee resettlement because it is a federal decision. But it does make clear in federal law that there should be consultation with local and state governments, and that has happened in Eau Claire. And it continues to happen. It will continue to happen on at least a quarterly basis. And frankly, as this is new, we'll be meeting more regularly with local stakeholders, both governmental as well as employers, faith-based organizations, other nonprofit organizations, the school board leaders. And that's because refugee resettlement is a community initiative, and it works really well, and it has worked really well in places like the Appleton and Oshkosh area when there's community buy-in, when the community is eager to be a part of welcoming these newcomers to the community and helping them to integrate into the community. So that's process started, months ago and is ongoing.
Matthew Sorens, Vice President of Advocacy and Policy at the faith-based humanitarian agency World Relief, as we discuss refugee resettlement, call in with a question. You can share your perspective at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks to Elaine in Milwaukee, who wrote to us seeking programs on how to help refugees in Wisconsin, and specifically how to support the children who come here. A faith-based refugee resettlement and immigrant services agency aims to resettle 75 refugees this year in the Chippewa Valley. We're in conversation with World Relief's head of advocacy and policy, Matthew Sorens, about this work. You can join in the conversation. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Matthew, Republican State Representative Karen Hurd from Falls Creek is a lead sponsor of legislation that would require local government involvement in resettlement plans. And Hurd says refugees in the Chippewa Valley would likely become dependent on local public services. And here last week on the floor of the State Assembly, Hurd said local officials have an interest in refugees receiving the help they need.
We don't want them homeless. We don't want them without medical care. We want to be able to take care of them. That's up to the local government to decide how to get that done.
And you told PBS Wisconsin the majority of refugees will get jobs and live self-sufficiently. Why are you confident the refugees will gain employment here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm confident that refugees will gain employment because the refugee resettlement program has been happening for more than 40 years at this point. I mean, again, it goes back in a formal way to the Refugee Act that President Carter signed into law back in 1980. And it's been a remarkably successful program. There are, of course, some needs as a new family arrives. You know, on day two or day three, they're not economically self-sufficient. And there are some federal taxpayer dollars that contribute to their integration. But there's actually been all sorts of studies. Again, we have decades of experience with this at this point, and World Relief has been a part of this process since the 70s, where, you know, for the first few years, refugees get some assistance. Again, mostly federally funded programs that help them get on their feet. But within a number of years, they go from being net recipients of taxpayer contributions to being net contributors to the tax base. And by 20 years after arrival, according to a study by some economists at Notre Dame, the average refugee adult has contributed $21,000 more in taxes at all levels, local, state, and federal, than the combined cost of governmental expenditures on their behalf over those 20 years. So it's actually an investment from a fiscal perspective. In, you know, bring new people into a community who are going to be workers, who are going to be consumers, who are going to add to the economy overall. And of course, it's also driven by the humanitarian priorities of our country, both at a federal level and in states and communities. And for many Americans, including us at World Relief, it's also deeply rooted in our faith and this want desire to be faithful to biblical commands, to welcome strangers, to practice hospitality, to love neighbors. So we think it's actually a huge opportunity for the community. And we've seen that from the city of Eau Claire that's actually been very eager to receive refugees as well as other immigrants. And frankly, new recipients and new residents from other states as well. It's not all about immigrants. They actually want to be a growing community, which most communities want to be because they know that that's in their economic interest.
And so you see economic self-sufficiency after arrival in Wisconsin that is absolutely achievable, not a drain on safety net services for months and years.
No, I mean, and again, we have a long history of this. And if you talk to employers, and we have heard from employers in Eau Claire, just as we have in Appleton and Oshkosh, employers are desperate for workers right now. Wisconsin has a very, very low unemployment rate. That's a good problem, but it is actually a bit of a problem as well. It's part of what has fueled inflation in the last few years. And, you know, we think that refugees can be a part of the solution to that challenge while also providing literally life-saving protections to people who were at risk of persecution in their countries of origin.
We're going to hear another voice here, Democratic State Representative Francesca Hong of Madison, voting against the bill. And Hong said on the assembly floor that the bill would create a pathway for xenophobic people to deny refugees the ability to build homes and raise families in Wisconsin.
You can legislate racism, you can legislate hate, you can legislate discrimination, and that is what this bill is doing.
How do you respond to concerns from lawmakers that the legislation would subject refugees to discriminatory treatment or block their legal settlement?
Yeah, I mean, I think to be fair to Representative Hurd, the sponsor of the bill and others, the bill doesn't, you know, it's relatively neutral in that sense. It's about creating and requiring local and local governments to be aware of and then to hold meetings about refugee resettlement. So that could go either way, right? Those meetings could affirm refugee resettlement or they could denounce it. I think our perspective is it's a burden on those local governments, especially because the bill would require those meetings to happen within a 100-mile radius of any community where there's even an initial preliminary conversation about the possibility of refugee resettlement. So, you know, when World Relief was exploring a new potential site, we didn't just talk to Eau Claire. We were looking at communities in different parts of Wisconsin. 100-mile radius around every community where we had a conversation would definitely cover more than half of the state. And there's 2,300 local government units as defined by this bill in the state of Wisconsin. So those preliminary conversations could feasibly have required, if this bill would become law, more than 1,000 required meetings, which then subsequent required additional meetings, all of which would be lead to the recommendation of county level resolutions on the question of refugee resettlement. And that is where I have a concern that I think resonates with what we just heard, which is that you'll have communities that are unlikely to ever see a single refugee be resettled into their community who are being encouraged to pass a resolution for or against. And often that will bring out the perspectives of people who are maybe misinformed. And we've seen some of that misinformation at work in Eau Claire in the last few months. saying things about refugees that will be inaccurate. And frankly, I don't want a situation where the people whom we've resettled into Appleton are worried about driving, out to Eau Claire because they'll pass through counties that have passed resolutions, probably based on some misinformation, saying that refugees are not welcome here. I mean, I don't want to drive through a community where it's been the formal position of the county government that I'm not welcome, and I don't want any of the families that we've served or resettled to have that experience as well. So that's where, I think that the bill goes too far in terms of pushing for resolutions in places where there's really no reason for people to have an opinion on resettlement that's very unlikely to ever happen in their community.
Matthew Sorens with us, Vice President of Advocacy and Policy at World Relief. Matthew, in our last minute together, how can Wisconsinites better support refugees and especially children who are resettling in communities?
Yeah, I so appreciate that question. This only works with volunteers. It only works with financial support from the community. There's some federal funds that go into this, but it's a public-private partnership, and it's local community members, local churches, and others who make it refugee resettlement function really well. So if people go to worldrelief.org/Wisconsin, they can find out how to get involved, whether in the Chippewa Valley area or in the Fox Valley area. And then we have, peer organizations in Milwaukee and Madison, groups like Catholic Charities and Lutheran Social Services, ECDC and Wausau, that are also doing refugee resettlement and doing similar processes. So we'd encourage you to reach out to whoever is local to you.
It sounds like it's very much a collaborative effort among different organizations.
It absolutely is. And even at the local level, I mean, individual, English language teachers are involved, and employers who see the value in giving someone a first job, landlords who take a risk on someone who doesn't have a credit history yet, but ends up being a great tenant. All those are individuals who are part of helping refugees really get on their feet. And that's been part of the story of Wisconsin. I mean, if you go back to the Bunger settlement in the 70s and 80s, it's been a really successful process and it's still working really well. But it only works when the community is engaged.
Matthew, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Matthew Sorens, Vice President of Advocacy and Policy at World Relief. That's a Christian humanitarian organization. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.